Okay, we left off last week talking about Machlokes and Rishonim, about an Esek Shel Tevel, which really revolved around the Dini Mamonos question: do we really view Tevel as being Mamon HaShutin or not? So Tosis was very, very convinced that we do, and therefore the Esek Shel Tevel was no good. Tosis was able to salvage the Matzah Shel Tevel, just throwing a few more bites, and Tosis was able to salvage the Issa Shel Tevel, just throwing a little bit more flour into the mix. But the Esek Shel Tevel, you can't do that, because part of the Esek is not yours, so it's like an Esek HaChoser, and that's not going to be acceptable. The Ramban denied the whole thing. Ramban said, and an Esek is not called, the Esek Shel Tevel is not called a Shutfin. The whole model of Shutfis is not really correct. It's a type of it, quote unquote Shutfis, that's so easily dividable, it's not even really considered to be Shutfis in the first place. So that idea that Taiz and Ramban are arguing about, which is really not an Esek Shal, it's really more of a Dini Mamon Shaila, this may impact on other issues in halacha, depending on how we're going to view the status of Tevel, just how Shutfis oriented to Tevel, this may potentially impact on other aspects as well. This idea that we view Tevel as Shutfis, so L'chor, it's a very, very strange idea, because it almost gives off the impression that the Truma is really here, the Mice is really here, and it's just kind of like mixed in together, and we can't quite separate which is which. So the Gemara does have a big machlokes about this in other areas of halacha called matanish lohumu k'mishahumu davyana. It means just in terms of other aspects of halacha, and way beyond that scope right now, just how much do we view the Trumas and Maises as being separated already? Just how realistic is that? Is that model that the Trumas and Maises are really separated, to really declare them to be like a separate entity? So when you learn the sugyas of Matanish Lohumu k'mishahumu davyana, You have to revamp it, look a little bit in terms of this machlokes ties in the Ramban. This is touching on a lot of different things related to what I take on Tevel and Truma relationship there is. There's one Gemara in Maseches Gittin that may impact on our sugya. That's the Gemara says in Maseches Gittin on Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph. The Gemara is discussing the authority of an apotropos. Apotropos is a guardian, someone who was either appointed by the father himself before he dies, or appointed by the Beis Din. And he's in charge of making sure that the nechasim of the ever pro. So besides all his responsibilities in terms of dini mamonos, he has to make sure he invests the property properly, make sure the fields are being taken care of, make sure the whole estate is running properly. In addition to that, he has a certain koch and issa v'heter as well. That's not what the Braisa points out. But tani apotropin terminum ma'asrin, that the apotropsim who are in charge of this town here, the kids are 5 years old, so they're under bar mitzvah, they can't take care of things themselves. So they have a field, and the field is producing fruit. So how are they going to eat that fruit? The fruit is going to be treif. Normally, only the bialim are permitted to be mafish shumas and maaseres. So a child under the age of Papa Smitsa obviously doesn't have the ability to be mafish shumas and maaseres. So what are you going to do? So the bride says, no problem. The apotropos themselves can be torah. The apotropos will take off the shumas and maaseres properly, and you don't have to worry about it. So when the bride presents this din that apotropos does it, so the bride just puts the brakes on. The bride says, apotropos and torah and maaseres, that they're only allowed to separate humans and maestros for the purpose of feeding the children, feeding the yisrael. So the yisrael is sitting down to dinner, so the apotropos is allowed to run and say, wait a second, let me take off a little piece of humans and maestros, we don't want you to eat the tray for food. But what if it's not lahacha? What if the children are not eating the food anyway? It's some kind of an investment and some kind of, they want to sell it, they want to put it away for something, or put it away for the future or something. So it's not such a big tzarech, not such a big need. So then the apotropsim don't have the courage to do that. So the question is, how do you understand that this discrepancy in halach? On the one hand, the apotropos does have the koach. On the other hand, he doesn't have the koach. So the man of shach. Is the apotropos a bialim? Is the apotropos really considered to be the place of the owner? Even though he doesn't technically own the property, but somehow the parsha, the din of the apotropos, give him the authority to act on behalf of the yisomim. If it does, then it should be good under all circumstances. There should be no limitations. If it doesn't, so then how does it ever work? So we're trying to figure out how do you walk this tightrope that the apotropos sometimes can be mafish, sometimes can't be mafish. So the Rashba on the spot, and again, I forgot to put it on the memorandum, some people asked me about it. So the Rashba, I told I was on the, it was on the original memorandum, I don't remember. It was on the original sheet? No, I don't know, I got lost in the shuffle. Anyway, there's the Rashba in Masechet Gittin on the spot, quotes two very, very different ways of understanding this discrepancy. How could it be that on the one hand, Lahachil is okay, they do have the Kayach, but Lahaniach, they don't. So one approach of the Rashba is that Nida Araisa, the Tropsim have absolutely no Kayach whatsoever. It's not their property. The din is, to that, we just read in last week's parasha, came to Mimugam Atem Tumas Hashem. Only two people have the authority to be Mafish Tumas and Maisis. One is the owner himself, and the other is who? Who's the only other person who's not the owner who has authority? The Shaliach. If someone is a formal Shaliach, then and only then they have the ability to separate Tumas and Maisis. That's the Chiddush HaTorah. Came to Mimugam Atem L'Rabba Shluchachem. That's the sugyas in Daf Mem Aleph and Beis in Kedusha. If not for Psukim, we never would have said there's a parasha of Shlichus. The Chiddush HaTorah Shlichus Shom Kemoiso, but it has to meet all the criteria for the Shlichus. So the Apotropos is lacking one of the ABCs of Shlichus. What's the ABC of Shlichus that he's missing? Is that there's no Mishaleach. Because the Mishaleach is what? Mishaleach is a God. The Mishaleach is under the age of a mitzvah. So how in the world can the Mishaleach appoint him as a Shliach? So there is a nuanced question from Kinega raises about why exactly can't the Kutner have a Shalich? What exactly is the problem of a Kutner having a Shalich? The Gemara is befavored. Not a Shaila that a Kutner can't appoint the Shalich. So B'Kveger in his Chedushim of Metziah has a big B'Chiddush as to why that should be so. Maybe the reason why a Kutner can't have a Shalich is not per se that somebody can't act as a Shalich and be a Kutner. There's no real Chisaron of somebody as a Shalich. The problem is almost like a technical problem. What's the technical problem? The Kutner doesn't have the ability to do what? To do minui means every shlichos requires a minui shlichos. You have to have an appointment of the shliach. So it says Rabbi Kivega, maybe the whole problem with shlichos for katan, the fact that the shlichos for katan, that's a gemara 100 times over, a katan can't have a shliach. It says Rabbi Kivega, it's not really a din that a katan can't have a shliach. It's just a technicality that a katan can't appoint a shliach. And therefore, Rabbi Kivega says, what if I can construct the case of a shlichos that doesn't require me to shlichus? I'm going to make up a case. I'm going to use my imagination, use my creativity. I'm going to come up with a case of a shlichus that doesn't really require me to shlichus. So it says we'll be big, and then it'll be okay. And there's nothing intrinsic that's wrong with the relationship of a shlich for a kotel. What's the case? Give me an example of a case of a shlichus that doesn't require a mini shlichus. We have another word for that. What's that called? It's called zochen. It's called zechiah. Every zochen is like that. If I want to give you a gift and you're not around, so if it's something that's not necessarily advantageous for you, so that's not called the schus. So it's not called the schus, that in chavid the adam shalom b'fanav, then you have to either be there yourself, or you have to formally appoint a shliach. But if it's a schus, so then comes the gemara in Kiddush Daf Mem Beis, and says there's a new parasha, a new din called zoch adam shalom b'fanav, and even without a formal minui, that's also going to be acceptable. So the Kivega walks a tightrope and he says that even though there's no shlichus for a katan, but maybe there is zechiah for a katan. Why? Even if you hold that Zechiah is a form of Shlichus, even if you think that Zechiah and Shlichus are intertwined, interrelated to one another, one can still differentiate between the two and say, Shlichus for Katan, no, but Zechiah for Katan, yes. And the longest being that Shlichus requires a Minui, and Zechiah, by definition, it's a Shlichus without a requirement of Minui Shlichus. So that was Rabbi Kivega's big breakthrough. It's against the Rishonim. The Rishonim don't say that. Rabbi Kivega writes about Metziah Dachi of Aleph, it was a Nir Lo Leimar, this Chiddush Gadol, that he could split between the two. So his son, Rabbi Shlomo Eger, posed the question to his father. So we'll quote in the Chiddush of B'Kivega. His son, Reb Shlomo Eger, posed the question to his father and said, no, I'm going to disprove my father. Why? I'm going to show you that there are cases out there that do have the status of shlichus, which don't require mini shlichus, and still a katan is no good. That's going to be the test case. That's going to be the lab. That's going to be the litmus test. If I can prove to you, says Reb Shlomo Eger, that I can find the case of shlichus, a different case of shlichus, that doesn't require mini shlichus, and still can't be done for a katan, that's going to disprove the theory of my father. So what was the case? What's another case of a shlichus that doesn't require a mini shlichus? Anyone know? That's a chiyuv, a different one. Who was with us back in the Bar Mitzvah days? The Gemara is Machlokes in the first parash of Bar Mitzvah. What's the nature of the din of kinyan chotzer? The Torah speaks about chotzer being kinyan for a person, both in terms of a get. There's no need to put the get into the woman's hands, and also the other, filo b'chatzera. Well, let's say if a person steals something, so even if he didn't steal it via dayan, if it ends up in his chatzer, he might say simatze biyadul and habes chatzerai. So there's a din of chatzer shalom kain lo shalom yaito. So the Gemara is a very lomdish chakira, like an acharenish chakira. The Gemara has the chakira in the first parak of Metziah. What's the nature of the din of chatzer shalom? Is chatzer considered to be like an extension of your hand? Just as if I put a get into the woman's hands, so she's kind of the get, or if the guy takes the item in his hands, he's kind of the item, so too, your chotzer is considered to be your extended yad. What do I say? No. Your chotzer is like, my yad. My yad, my body's my yad. My hands my yad. My fingers are yad. My backyard, 20 feet away, is my yad. My backyard is like my shlich. Just as the Torah says that shlich works, so too, chotzer works, but it works b'tam shlichos. So the question says, who cares? Why not give me? Who cares? If it works, it works. The ma'ase works for the Torah. Works for get, works for kinyan, works for geneva. So who cares whether we formulate it as a yad type of halacha, as an extension of the parsha of yad, or as an extension as a corollary of the parsha of shlichus? So what does the Gemara say? Who remembers? There's enough gemara for a katan. What says, can a katan have a chater or not? Let's say a person wants to divorce his wife, and she's a katana. She's married to Minotaur. The father was in the Kabbalah Kedushin 5 years before. So she's married with Deraisa. Now she's only 10 years old. He wants to divorce her. So if he puts the get into her hand, she's for sure Megureshes. Well, you don't need Dasa Isha for Gerushin. So you can be Megareshes. You can be Mekadesh Ketana unless you're a father, but you can't be Megareshes Ketana without a father. So you can put the get into her hand. So the Gemara says, Shaila, can you put the get into her Chotia? What's this up? Depends. Enough to read it. If you hold that Chos is Mitam, Wah, Mitam, Yad, that it should work. If you hold that Chos is Mitam, Shlichos, then Ein Shlichos Mekotan. That can't be a Gemara. So comes from Eger and turns around to his father and says, if you're right, if Tata, if you're right, that whenever there's a din of shlichos without a requirement of mini shlichos, chotzer is such a shlichos. Even if you hold that chotzer is mishum shlichos, nobody in their right mind says you have to talk to the chotzer. Anuchama. If you hold chotzer is mishum shlichos, you have to go up to your backyard before the get is put in and says, please do me a favor and be my shlichos. Halacha doesn't require people to talk to their land. As Meshuggah talks to his house. So a person is not required to be man of the land as a shliach. Chatzim itzim shlichos means it's a type of a shlichos, albeit without a requirement of a mina shlichos. Not all that different than zochin. And the Alpha Pichay says, if Shlomo gets this far, the Alpha Pichay, the Gemara says, that if you hold that chotzer b'tam shlichos, it's not going to work for a katan. You see from here that the chisaron of ein shlichos a katan has nothing to do with the technicality of being a shlichos. It has to do with the very institution of shlichos. It's not teifes on behalf of a katan. Finish, end of discussion. It doesn't matter whether you require a formal minyan or not. So that was a Falega's equation. That chotzer l'man di'amar mishum shlichos is the halacha equivalent of Zechiyah, not literally the equivalent, but it's equivalent in the sense of that they don't need Boba Inan Mina Shlichos. The Alpha Pichain, the Gemara says that a katan's not going to work. So that was the kasha he asked to his father. What was his father's response? Silence. In the Kedushin B'Kvega, there's no response that's given. So we don't know whether B'Kvega backed out or he thought the kasha wasn't such a good kasha. We don't know what the follow-up of that story was, but it's quoted in the Kedushin B'Kvega that was put together by one of the other brothers. So one of the other sons of B'Kvega, he writes that his brother of Shlomo asked his father of B'Kvega, and we don't have any record of what the response was. That was going on in the Eger household, in case you were wondering. Okay. So getting back to that story. So comes the Rashba and says that an apotropis cannot be mafresh truma on ma'isa on behalf of the kadam deraisa. Based on what? He's nishta bailim, nishta shliach, because there's no shliach for katan. So how does any of this work? So the Rashba says, you're right, itaka doesn't work with a Torah. It only works with the rabbanon. Whoa, how does it work with the rabbanon? We're using an institution, a takonis achamim, the teva says, we're trying to make a takonis to help the yisamim not eat trade. So we're making it takana derabanan, and we're going to be mafresh truma to ma'isa to din deraisa. What's the answer? It has to work with what mechanism mid deraisa? It's got to be hefker beis and hefker. It has to be that mid deraisa, it's the nichse ha'yisaimim, and therefore the apotropos has no shlit, has no authority over it. Mid derabanan, since they wanted to protect the interests of the ketanim, so they were mafker all the fruit, all the produce, all the stuff to the apotropos. And they said, okay, based on the principles of Hefker, Bez, and Hefker now belongs to you, and gave his intake, you can go ahead and be mafresh. Once you go down that route, says the Rashba, that's pure takanas hacham l'tevis ha'yisaymim, so then one can argue, hey, mamma ve mamru. So the hacham were very, very limited in scope. Namely, they only made the takana when they felt it was necessary. That's why they draw these distinctions. The kid's about to, he's sitting there, little kid sitting around the table with his bib on, he's having a birthday party, and they're serving, some good tevel stuff. There's a birthday cake with some cherries on top, okay? So the cherries have a revolting runner itself, it's the mafresh trumas and vices. So the kid's about to blow up the candles, about to eat the cherries, so the apotropos comes ready, and no, wait! The days in the Godol, and Lishkas HaGozes 300 years ago told me that Latovus HaYasayimim, I should be mafresh trumas and vices to avoid you from eating tevil. But if the apotropos wants to do it, Lahaniach, for the next 10 years, he wants to preserve the cherries and can the cherries and keep them stored for 20 years from now,
What's the beit tzairech? The kitter's bar mitzvah will decide whether he wants to go into the preserved cherry business or not. So we have no right to be mafishim to ma'isis and is in half right now. That's how the Rasha presents it. So the deraisa, there's nothing doing it. Nothing works for deraisa. Then stuck the Rasha the eidish l'armena. Maybe the exact opposite. Maybe taka mideraisa, everything really does work. Mideraisa, that the Trump is really has shalitza, really has authority here. Based on what? Based on what dinim? The Trump is authority. He's not the owner. Says the Rashba, there's a new din in the Torah called Yad HaPetropos Ki Yad HaBailam Dami. The Torah does. It does recognize this institution of HaPetropos. How do you know? Vishtei Mechumash HaPetropos. So the Ferish of Gemara in Maseches Kedusha in Daf Mem Beis. The Gemara learns out from Psukim that appear at the end of Parshas Maaseh. The Psukim, most people, kids in elementary school don't even know these Psukim exist. Because first of all, they're not in school for these Parshas. So that's one straight answer. Second of all, you know, it's right smack in the middle of camp. And it's the end, it's usually a double parsha, so, and it's the end of the second parsha, so forget it, you know. Even if they learned a little bit of Chumash the first 1 or 2 days of the week of camp, then there was color war, then there was this, there was a trip, so the odds of any kid under the age of 10 actually knowing this plus exists is unlikely. So comes the Pesukim in the end of Parshas Maaseh and speak about when they were about to divide up Eretz Yisrael, so the Ribbono Shel Olam tells Moshe Rabbeinu, we have to appoint Nesiim to divide up Eretz Yisrael. What are you doing? What's the job of the Nesiim? The pasuk says, "The nasi echad lamata, the sech lamata, yenchilu nachla." I just made a pesukim. The job of the nesiim are to divide up the land. What does that mean? What's their job? What are they actually doing? So the Gemara in Kedushin Daf Mem Beis has three different possibilities. What the job of these nesiim are? So one possibility is that basically the job of the nesiim is shlichim. They're going to be the shluchim of the people. In theory, you have this loads of land. And we have to decide, this guy gets this, and this family gets this, this guy gets that. So in theory, what you have is, you have mass chaos. All the members of Shevet Zvulun should all get together, and one guy should grab this land, and one guy should grab that piece of land, and the other guy will fight in it, and all Shevet Yisachar will do this, and everyone's going to grab the land, each Yachad, you call Yachad, Yachad, you come to Zaycha, to be kind of his land. So the Gemara says that's a very, very poor system. So it's much more efficient if you have one person doing it on behalf of everybody. So the Torah points for all of Shevet Shimon, there should be one person, and that one person will make a Maisa Kinyan on each piece of land. So he'll have all the surveys, all the plans from all the towns, so everything, all the block numbers divided up properly, and then he's going to go ahead and he's going to do it. Ech ben zoiche for... For Yankel Beryl, I'm going to be Zeicha for David Shmuel. Every single person he's going to be Zeicha for as a Shaliach. So everybody's going to appoint, all the people are going to appoint this Nasi to be their Shaliach. They're going to sign off on the appointment to be their Shaliach. And it's going to work based on the regular dinner of Shalichos. So the Gemara condition and they says, ooh, that's a mocha for Shalichos. By golly. Now the Gemara has other Makurs for Shalichos also. The Gemara says, maybe this is also a mocha for Shalichos. And maybe we could derive from here the Pasha of Shalichos. So the Gemara backpedals in Kedushin Mem Beis. No. This is not the Pasha. You know why? There's a problem here. What's the problem here? And remember Kedushin Mem Beis? They're Ketanim. Some of the people who are Zoyche in Eretz Yisrael were Ketanim. They got a chelek of the fathers who Yetz Mitzrayim and all complicated things about the Vasa had to be divided by Eretz Yisrael. But you had a situation where there were some people under the age of Bar Mitzvah who were getting chalachim in Eretz Yisrael. So this can't be shlichos. You can't have shlichos for a katan. Back to our old story. You can't have shlichos for a katan. So the Gemara scratches that. Gemara says, you're right. This is not shlichos. So what is it? It must be zochin. Zochin shlo b'fanav. It's that line of the Gemara that led a group of Rishonim to say, you see, for me, there's chiyah for a katan because of this. Why did the Gemara immediately shoot down this next answer and say, they were katanim? So that's the machlokes of Rishonim, what to do with that piece of information. So the Gemara again goes step by step. First, the Gemara attributes this whole parasha to must be the institution of shlichim. The Gemara says, not true, katanim. Then the Gemara says, it's zochin. The Gemara says, no, there's not zochin either. You know why it's not zochin? I don't remember the Gemara's kasha. Why is it not zochin? How do you know he wants a mountain? Maybe he wants a valley. Can you imagine? Here they come to Eretz Yisrael. They were slaves for 210 years. Then they were walking around the desert for 40 years. They finally come to Eretz Yisrael. The walls of Yericho are tumbling down. The sun is stopping in the way. Everything is happening. And what happens? A guy's still kvetching. No. I don't want that piece of land. I don't want I don't want Beit Meir. I want, I want Telfon. And that's a big machlokes spin. I want a lot. That's the kvetching. People should be happy with what they have. The Torah says people kvetch. People kvetch then also. So the Torah has to address the kvetchers. So the Gemara says it can't be based on Zochin, because how do you know it's a Zchus? Maybe it's not a Zchus. So the Gemara is 0 for 2. So we have 2 strikes against us. We're trying to understand the Lomdus, the Cheshimishma part of this parasha. You know, it's like said so many times, The Chassidish guy would read these psukim in Parshas Maaseh and say, wow, what unbelievable zach, Eretz Yisrael, the Kedusha, the Nitzaitis, the Mechalik, the Yerusha, the Reinishal, the Hagamal. And the Litvach looks at him and says, if he did, how's it work? What's the Chesh of Ishbel? What's the longest? Shlichos? Nah. Zechia? Nah. So how does it work? So the Gemara says, oh, it's based on a different parasha. Based on the parasha of what? Of, what's the third sure chance? Apotropos. The Gemara says that Apotropos they could do. The Torah is appointing these fellows to serve as the guardians for everybody. Everyone is serving B'Torah Sapetropas. And the Gemara says, that's not how it works. Because Shlichus could have worked for all the Gedolim. That's possible. Shlichus could have been a model for all the Gedolim, but a fall short for the Ketanim. It must be that the Ketanim are going through the Parashah of Apotropas. And is that what you see from here, that there's a Parashah of Apotropas. The Gemara says, from here we derive that Apotropsim have Kochos to do things in halacha. They can buy and sell, they can divide a property, etc. They can do a lot of things. Mikandin apotropsim are appointed to divide up the tefis habayis. So the Gemara says, the father dies, we will never chalat a little yisaimim. So no problem, you appoint an apotropos, and apotropos, masha also he divides up the property appropriately, and that's the korech, and that's the source of the daraita of parashat of apotropos. So comes the Rashba and gets enough from David and says, what do you see from this din of apotropos? What do you see from this parashat of apotropos? That the Torah treat normally, I can't divide property unless I'm one of the Bailam. Who are you? You're going to come and divide up my property for me? You're not my shliach, it's not zechiah, and it still works. It must be that the Torah is teaching us an equation. The equation is apotropos equals Bailam. It's a new din. What's the difference between apotropos and regular shlichas? Regular shlichas is done by individuals, apotropos is appointed by the Beis Din. So here, my Shabbat, the Beis Din is appointing apotropsim. So Lederi Deiris and the Beis Din Shabbat here appoints the apotropos to divide a property of Yisrael and Ketanim. They have all the teeth, they have all the kishas of the parasha of Nasi Echad. That's the Ferish Gemara condition of Nabbis. So comes the Rashba and says, Mistama, that's what's going on here also. This din that apotropos is Kebailim, is this limited to Cheshir Mishpat? Is this only a din in Mamristik din? No. Apotropos Kebailim means he's mabish kebailim. Whatever koach the bailim, whatever is necessitates the bailim to do, can be substituted for an apotropos. So just as dividing a property can be done by an apotropos in place of the bailim and lieu of the bailim, so too a frusha shumas and maishas can be done by the apotropos in lieu of the bailim as well. And that's mamash adin mideraisa, says the Rashba. So if so, we understand why lahaniach is okay. I'm sorry, why lahachil is okay. So why is lahaniach not okay? The answer is, you're right, it really is okay. The derais, it really is okay. It's just that, why should we let him do it? It's too risky. Why should we let the apotropos potentially create a storage house of canned cherries? Well, when the kid turns 11, so he'll figure out whether he wants to do that or not. So, mid derais, he can. Mid derais, he's mamash to buy. He can do whatever he wants. Mid derais, I can make my own canned cherries. Do whatever I want. So, mid derais, the apotropos can do whatever he pleases. But mid derabanan, just to be on the extra special careful and caution to protect the interests of the assignment, we will not let the apotropos do things, even though mid derais, it's really within his jurisdiction to do those things. That's the second part of the Rashba. So at the end of the day, the Rashba is classic, two answers in the Rashba. How do you explain this distinction? Either to say that basically you could do nothing mid derais, and we'll give you a break mid derabanan to do this, or you could do everything mid derais, and we're taking away your koiches to do this. So two approaches. Let's see for a moment the second day of the Rashba, the second approach of the Rashba. That midaraisa, the apotropos mamish has a free hand; he can do anything and everything on behalf of the yisayim. So comes the shach, and the sefer in the kesef. The shach wrote a running tavish on Shulchan Aruch. At the same time, the taz wrote his, but the shach and the taz weren't aware of each other writing it. The shach was about 60 years younger than the taz. And then when both of them were published, so then the Shach realized there were things in the Taz and Sefer that he disagreed with, so he wrote a second Sefer called the Rebuttal. It was the Rebuttal of the Taz. So the Taz was called the Turei Zahav, so he wrote the Rebuttal called the Kudos HaKasef. Plus says the Shashirim, Turei Zahav Nasalach Im Kudos HaKasef. Of course, even though the Shach knew full well that Turei Zahav was with a Tav and Turei Zahav was with a Tes, but it was still a cute name for a Sefer. So he wrote his sefer called the Nekudas HaKesef. So it's printed in the Shulchan Aruch on the side, in the margin. If you're under the age of 30, if your eyes are still working properly, so you can actually read it. If not, so you need your magnifying glass. So it's a very, very tiny print that takes different hours against the text. So in the Nekudas HaKasef, he discussed the famous Shaila. Already was discussed already before the Taz, before the Shach, discussed by the Ramam. But discussed the question of what if you have a situation where you have a child and Nebuch, there's no father around to do Pidyon Hevel. The firstborn child, not a Kohen, not a Levi, not a Batka, not a Mas Levi, Pet Rechem, it's a mitzvah Pidyon Hevel, and Nebuch, there's nobody around to do Pidyon Hevel. There's no father. Why is there no father? Either the father's not alive, or the father disappeared, or the father's perhaps not Jewish even, the mother's Jewish, the father's not even Jewish. So you have a lot of scenarios where the father is either not physically here or not halakhically here. So there's no question this child is chayv pidyon ben. The question is, what do we do about it exactly? So if this would be a bris milah shaila, we would know exactly what to do. The Gemara says in Kiddushin that with the father's not around, the beis din has to step up to the plate. A pidyon ben, there's no such halacha, there's no such gemara. So the question is, can we do anything? Is there anything that we can even do that's going to even work? So the Ramon, one fell swoop in Simon Shenhei, and you're there, said nothing you could possibly do to solve this problem. You know why? Because the Ramah says there are only two people who are ever authorized to perform Pidyon HaBen. One is the father, and if the father doesn't do it, when the child turns bar mitzvah, then he does it himself. For the Sifteh, this week's Parsha, so the child does it himself. So that's all there is available. The mother can't do it, the Beis Din can't do it, the rabbi can't do it, nobody can do Pidyon HaBen. It's not going to work, it's not going to be Teifes. Then the Ramah goes one step further and he says, not only is nobody else ever authorized to do Pidyon HaBen, he has a Chiddush Gadol from the Ramah, a curveball from the Ramah. Even if what? Remember, Ramah, Chiddush Gadol, Mishnah. Even if a person is appointed as a shaliach by the father, he still can't do Pidyon HaBen. Says the Ramah, there's no shlichus of Pidyon HaBen. Such as Chiddush Gadol from Ramah, lo yuman ki supar. You can't even make a shaliach of Pidyon HaBen. According to the Ramah, so then the case is closed. There's nothing we can possibly. We have to wait till the kid's bar mitzvah. When it turns bar mitzvah, he'll do it himself. We can't even begin to dream of doing it on his behalf. Even if the father calls us up and says, please do it on my behalf, it's not going to work according to the Ramah. Who remembers when we spoke about this? Last year. It was in June's man. No, maybe not June's man. Okay. When did we talk about it? Who remembers? Who remembers the bomb kasher from Tsuga stuff? Where is it? Andalan? According to the Ramah, that there's no shlichus of Pidyon HaBen. The Gemara says in Ksubis that milsa is a leisa b'shlichus, leisa b'tanai. Anything you can't appoint the shliach for, you can't make a tanai. The Gemara says a condition above, you can have a Pidyon HaBen al tanai matanam as lahachzir. How can you ever have a Pidyon HaBen al manas? Anything? The whole concept of a tanai doesn't make any sense because it's leisa b'shlichus. Didn't we spend a lot of time on this last year? I don't remember what we said, but that was a good, okay, good cash we had last year. Okay, fine. So according to the Ramah, the case is closed. But probably most of the Achmarim disagree with the Ramah. The Ramah claims the Rivash said it, and others claim the Rivash didn't necessarily really say it. It's not clear exactly where the Ramah even got this from. Chassam Sofer writes in one of his drushes that we don't really understand in Halach, we don't really understand what the Ramah is talking about, but in Hashkafa, we can understand what the Ramah is talking about. In Machshava, for a good drush, for Shabbos morning, we can understand the Ramah. So if he writes, the Pidyon HaBen is Zeichet HaMachas B'chayres, so the Machas B'chayres is Nivelo HaShaliach. The Rebbeinu Shalom did it on his own, and didn't have the Shaliach, so therefore we're going to do it on our own, not a put in Shaliach. So I'm sorry, that's not the real reason, it's just a nice little drush to say. But, so we know we really understand this Ramah. So we're going to assume, not like the Ramah for now, we're going to assume that Imtim Zalami, the father, Mamash appointed me as a Shaliach, it's going to work. So now the later Acharei of the Taz and the Gra, everyone else starts to put, what if the father didn't appoint me as a shaliach? What if I want to do it on my own? I want to go ahead and do Pidyon HaBen out of the goodness of my heart. Based on what principle? Like Behechat Teis, who am I? What possible principle could we defend doing Pidyon HaBen based on? Maybe it's a Zochman Shlomo Fanov. I'm going to do it. It's advantageous. It's beneficial for him. So that opens up a whole discussion about, is there Zechiah for a Katan? Is part of the Kivega story with the son? Is there really Zechiah? Is there Isa? Is there Rabban? It gets very, very complicated. Is this really a Zechiah? Maybe it's not even a Zechiah. Because why? Maybe. Taking away his mitzvah. Maybe he would rather, if I would ask him at the age of 30 days, he'd rather wait for 13 years, minus 30 days, do it himself. Make a big bar mitzvah party with a Pidyon HaBen all rolled into one. He'd much rather do it than he'll get chapped around his first. Imagine the kid gets his first mitzvah with a Pidyon HaBen. So maybe the kid's going to be upset at me. So we're not so sure that this is going to work based on Zachman Mishal Bafanav. So Shlichos, the Ramah said, not going to work. According to the Ramah, case closed. But even according to those who disagree with the Ramah, maybe Zechiah, maybe yeah, maybe no. So the Gra on the spot in Simshin Hay says he doesn't think this is even a good question to start with. He thinks not only is the Ramah not right, but any Acharon will go down to the Shlichos of Zechiah also not right. You don't remember the Gra? The Gemara has a whole different understanding of what Pidya Ben is. He said it's pure nechov. It's paying back a debt. He says you, the Bechor, owes 5 shekel to the Kohen. If I want to pay a guy's debt back, I want to be a nice guy and pay off the IRS for you. I have to be a shliach. I have to be a zechi. I pay off the chov. I pay off the chov. So you don't owe the money anymore. So the Gemara says, what do you need a shlichas for? What do you need a zechiah for? What do you need anything for? If I pay back the 5 shekels, you're behalf. The Pidya Ben is overdone. So we spoke a lot about this in Kiddushin. This is a very, very loaded grah. Is that true? That's all Pidya Ben is? Just paying back a debt? Paying back a loan? That's it? So again, these are not for now. These are topics in and themselves. So comes the Shach with this whole background. Everyone has what to say about this topic. So the Ramah says you can't do it even day Shalikas. The grah says you don't even need Shalikas. The Ta says maybe it's a Shechir, maybe it's not. Comes the Shach and says, I have a new idea. A whole new suggestion. Comes the Shach and says, very simple. We'll get together a basement. We don't need a basement over. Three rabbis get together. Anyway, we're doing that Taras Tadarim, we're writing principles, we're doing Tavas Chalom, whatever else we're doing is a basement. And we'll get three rabbis together. What will we do? We'll say, you know what? We're hereby appointing an apotropos to go ahead and do Pidya Ben on behalf of this child. And says the Shach, what is he saying? Gevald. This is my riddick. He says, it's the same as the apotropos can divide up Yerusha. And don't tell me that's only true in Chashim Mishpat. Don't tell me that the Kohen HaPetropos doesn't appear in your Yerodeah. It appears in your Yerodeah. And Simon Shalom et al. And the Simon Baptist and Maestros. And he quotes the Rashba and Gittin Daphne and Beis. He says, just as, at least according to one day in the Rashba, just as one day in the Rashba says, that HaPetropos has authority, he has jurisdiction, even with the Raisa, to do things in the realm of mitzvahs on behalf of a child, because that's the parsha of Nasi Yechod. What's the difference between the HaPetropos separating Tumas and Maestros? And the apotropos doing what? Being paid their pidyon ben. It's all the same thing. It's all the same parasha. That's the Shach's extension. He says, what's the difference? It's all the same thing. Then the Shach goes one step further. He says, and he thinks this is the answer to the age-old dilemma, the age-old problem. When you link Subas Tafid Aleph and Aleph, the one has the institution of Ger Kotan. You can be a guy or a child based on something. I'm not sure what. Zachlan Shalom B'Fanav. He wants to take a Goyish, a kid, and you put him in the mikvah, and everything, that's fine. That's okay. Zachlan Shalom B'Fanav. So all the Rishonim go to town. What do you mean, Zachin? Ain't Zachila Kotla Midaraisa Midarabon and back and forth. Shlichas, no Shlichas, yes Shlichas. Tazi Ksubas Tafir Aleph, and Tazi Sanhedrin. We spoke about this 100 times. So you know what the Shach says to that whole discussion? He says, forget all the regular rules. It works based on one simple rule. What is it? What's the rule? Apotropos, finished. You get a basement together, we appoint ourselves an apotropos, and apotropos takes care of the tefillah. There's some question, the Shach, there's a strange kasha yes against the Shach. Who says we have a right to be an apotropos for who? For God, an apotropos is given to us as Jews. It's a very, very strange application of apotropos. We're going to appoint an apotropos not just for a Jewish child. We're going to run around and appoint apotropos to take Goyish children and make them as Jews. That's already a higher level. That's already a whole new level of apotropos. Okay, so that's when you learn Simon Shanei, you read that long Shach, so you have to figure out, you know, what, if that's a good kasha. But the Shach has this running idea throughout this long course of Kesef that everything has its roots all the way back from apotropos of Nasi Yechod, Parshas Masei, which teaches me apotropos is Bailim, Nafkaminas Legabe Truma, Sevaisras, Nafkaminas Legabe, what's that Nafkamina? Lagabe Pinya Ben, Nafkamina Lagabe Geirus. It's all the same parasha of apotropos like a Bible. Ad Kan Devresha. Beis Din has the cost of point apotropos. Yeah. So comes the Ktsois, and he says he has a big issue with this Shach. A very, very big issue with this Shach. He thinks the Shach went one step too far into the Zerusha Kos apotropos. He says, go back to the beginning. Go back, Mamash, to the Aleph Beis, says the Tzais. If not for this parish of Nasi Yechad, I never would have had this institution. What would I have done with Nichsi Yisam? I would have left them. I know. It's a terrible thing. You know, we feel terrible that this child, you know, doesn't even take care of him. What are you going to do? Maybe we would have made the Rabban, we would have made Hefke Beis and Hefke. We would have done something anyway, made the Rabban, Tikkun Olam. But made the Raisa, it's not my property. What do you mean sell his property? What do you mean divide his property? How can you act on me for you or something? So comes the Chiddush HaTorah, says Nasi Yechad, that Nemar Halacha is a special din derived in Kedushah from days, the Kerech Bavitra. Go back to the model exactly But the trouble is like a Bialim. Totally, completely, totally, totally like a Bialim. Go back to the model itself. What was the model? What was the original model? To be Kona Eretzol. To be Kona, the Apotropos is going to the marketplace and buying a bag of potatoes for the Katan. He's going out to the real estate market and buying an apartment for the Katan. What's he doing? What's he doing exactly? He's not buying property for the Katan. What's he doing? He's dividing property on behalf of the Katan. But the Katan has a share in it anyway. This is Mamun Hashevet. The Rebbeinu Shlom gave an Asat Yisrael, Morash Anishav. He gives Eretz Yisrael to the Yavas possession. And then it all goes to be a Rusha to the different Shvatim. And the Rebbeinu Shlom said, this Chelech Eretz Yisrael will drop this Eretz Yisrael, okay? Right? When I was a little kid, so remember what Eretz Yisrael used to look like in the old maps? Used to be all the way to that, the whole Sinai desert, but now got chopped down a little bit, okay? But this is Eretz Yisrael, right? So who remembers where the Shvatim are? Who remembers? So you got Yehuda. Yeah, Shimon down here somewhere. What's it was on top of Yehuda? You got Yom. We're not gonna do everybody. You got Naphtali. You got Naphtali up here by the Kinneret, right? You got Dan a little bit on top, a little on the bottom, moving around. Okay, you got Eva Yarden. You guys remember? Come on, third grade. Remember basic fourth grade. Let's see if you're sure. The Gemara says in Masechet Zadorim that if Klaisel wouldn't have been Chayte, then he wouldn't have had the view Muksuvim. Because the whole goal of the Mitzvah was to give people chizuk and busar and inspiration to do the mitzvahs better. But if a person is this person anyway, it's a chizuk tzaddik, he doesn't need the Mitzvah. The Gemara says, "Malachot Yisrael lem the Mitzvah, except for Sefer Yeshua. Sefer Yeshua would have still been given to us anyway. Why? Because Sefer Yeshua has Gvulos of Eretz Yisrael in it. So the Gvulos of Eretz Yisrael, so that's so important, so that otherwise you wouldn't know how to divide, you wouldn't know which cities, who gets which cities, who goes where. So the Pesukim describe who gets Bnei Brak, who gets Shalvim, all the different cities that all says in the Pesukim in the last second half of Sefer Yeshua. It's a little bit strange because in elementary school they always skip the part. In the first few Brachim, then they skip to the very end and they skip all the middle. Because it's just a list of cities. That's the most important part of Tanakh. You have to Chumash, that's the most important part of Tanakh. It's the only part that really, really was given to us for any intrinsic reason. But, there used to be a machlokes in Europe about, you know, when the Muslim movement was. So who owns this chelik over here? Here we got the chelik of Yehuda. Who owns this exactly? Who owns it? Anyone who's a descendant of Shevet Yehuda. So everybody has a little bit of a share. The problem is that we don't know who owns what. So one guy screams he wants the Shemesh. One guy wants the outskirts of Yishalayim. One guy wants Telsa. One guy wants Beit Meir. Everyone wants a different chelik of the Har Yehuda. Everyone wants a different chelik of Yehuda. So we have to have some kind of a system. So this is the equivalent of like a Tris Abayis. A father died, and then we left. So Yehuda died, and he left everything to all his descendants. So we got 3 million people who are fighting to figure out who gets which square feet of what. So what happens is when we divide up Eretz Yisrael, we're not going to store and buy the land, we're not buying potatoes. We're doing a shutzis. A tefus abayis is a type of a shutzis. So we're dividing up the Yerusha of Yehuda. So comes the Tzitzis and says, all the Torah is that an Apotropos has the ability to divide a property that already belongs to all the Balak Dover. It means the Kotan already owns the share. We just don't know which half of the share he owns, which part of the share he owns. That's the Chiddush HaTorah of Apotropos. So comes the Ketzos and says, and now we understand the Rashba much better. And the Rashba says that based on the Pasha of Apotropos, so an Apotropos can be Mafish to the Maestros. How do you make that jump? Like Mehekatesi, just because an apotropos is the bialim vis-a-vis chalik the shutzis, there's no din of apotropos a bialim. The din is apotropos giving mechalik the shutzis. How do you know that an apotropos can be mafashimus and maishis? What's the answer? What's the missing link? How did the Rashbam know to make that jump? What's the bridge between an apotropos dividing property and apotropos being mafashimus and maishis? What's the missing link? Sukkot Aflam Adem and Aleph. He quotes the Taisus. The Taisus, the Taisus is the answer. He says this Taisus, the fact that Taisus calls Tevel being Mamon HaShutzis, that really means it. If in Masechet Sukkah works against us because it prevents us from being Yetzer Dalaminim with the Esrik Shel Tevel, but in Hilchus, Apotropos for kids, it works well for us. So says the Ketzos, that's the Bira Dov in the second answer to the Rashba. That's how it works with Deraisa. It works with Deraisa because an apotropos has the koyach to divide up a Yerusha. And basically, Hafrash Shem Tzemaisa is a little tantamount to dividing Yerusha. It's chalukah to mamon ashustis. What can an apotropos not do midaraisa? Anything else? Namely, since when can an apotropos do pidyon aben? Where's the Yerusha? The pidyon of Yerusha, pidyon aben. You're taking far shekel out of the cotton's pocket and giving it to a kohen. It's not a chalukas ha-yerusha. Not the same as giving truma. There's a big difference between giving. You don't say, let's say by a pidyon aben, let's say I happen not to be a bechor. Let's say I would be a bechor and I didn't have a pidyon aben. So you would say all my money belongs partially to me and partially to the kohen. And when you give pidyon aben, you're just dividing up the five that belongs to him. It's ridiculous, right? I choose which five I want to give to him. Then it's a different parasha legamre. There's a mitzvah to give five shekels to the kohen. It's not by nechassim. There are no halachas. Man, nechassim is not off limits until a mafresh pidyon aben money. By truma, it's nitan le'amer. And even that the Ramban wouldn't say. By truma, it's nitan le'amer, like the Tosfos writes, that's called mamon ashustis, because at the end of the day, I can't touch my fruit. I can't eat my fruit until I separate trumas and ma'aseh, because every part of my fruit has a chelik of the kohen and the levi in it. So that's nitan le'amer, that's called mamon ashustis. To say that pidyon aben money is a chalukas hashutmas is absolutely ridiculous. So therefore comes the Ketos and says that obviously the Shach understood that the koach of apotropos is mamash bailam hold over. He's the bailam in this and hetman in imam in this chashipikut yoredei etchumas maish pidyon aben geirus. It was geirus. Everyone, the whole world is basically Jews and goyim all mixed together. It's mamash ridiculous. There's no chalukas hashutmas there, and the Shach says he could still do it. The Ketos says no, it's not true. That the limitation. Even apotropos has limitations to it. Apotropos can only do a very, very limited scope. He has the koyach to do chalukas hashutzpahs. So a core part of this Tosfos now is impacting greatly, impacting significantly on many, many areas of halacha. If you go down the root of this Tosfos and you really believe that Hafrash Shem Tzemaisa is chalukas hashutzpahs, then you can go down the root of the Ketzos and disagree with the Shach's application. So this idea that we've been almost elaborating upon, this idea in Dinei Mamonos, how close do we model Hafrashas Trumas and Ma'aseh to Chalukas HaShutfes? This is almost reminiscent of another machlokes that was not a Dinei Mamonos shayla, it was more of a Hefta shayla. We spoke about this earlier in the year, about almost reminiscent of how we view Tevel in general, the relation between Tevel and Truma. Who remembers? Who knows what I'm talking about? Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos in Dinei Mamonos. We spoke about in the sugi of Matzah Shel Tevel, back in the real sugi of Matzah. In the back end of Lamed Amud Aleph. So Rashi has a startling statement in Maseches Yevamos. Rashi writes that he almost says the following. He says, it's not coincidental that if a Zar eats Truma, he's Chayim Misa B'nei Shemayim, and if he eats Tevel, he's Chayim Misa B'nei Shemayim. It's not coincidental, says Rashi. You know why? Because Tevel is also because of the Truma Shabo. I mean, licking every Tevel is a Shtikl Truma. It hasn't been divided which one yet. So anytime you eat truma, you're in effect eating. Anytime you're eating tevel, you're in effect eating truma. So Rashi says the two isurim are osur zeh bichlal zeh. The Tais says a bomb kasha against Rashi. What's the bomb kasha? What? Tais says in Cain, a kohen should be able to eat tevel. Why can't a kohen eat tevel? What's munach bo? Truma's not the kohen. Truma's ma'aseh is not the kohen. So Tais says it can't be. There's no conceptual connection between the two at all. Remember once there was a girl who was marrying a Kohen, and she asked me that now that she's marrying a Kohen, so when she goes to her child, does she have to separate Tumas and Ma'aseh anymore? So she was asking, so I said that was a lump, it was wrong, but it was a lump de Shekash, it's almost like Rosh Hashitah. It's like a quote unquote, it would be the incorrect conclusion of Rosh Hashitah. That once you're a Bas Kohen, you're allowed to eat Tumas, then you're allowed to eat Tevel. It's not correct. So Tosfos had this bomb cash against Rosh. Who remembers, when did we speak about this? What context? Tosfos had a suffix in Yevamos. Who remembers? About the Gemara says that if you have something that's Tevel, if Truma Gedola wasn't taken off, for sure you have Misa Deshemayim, that's not a shayla. If Maisa Rishon wasn't taken off of, it's also Misa Deshemayim. Why? Because if Maisa Rishon wasn't taken off of, what else wasn't taken off of? Truma's Maisa. But what if Truma Gedola was taken off of, Maisa Rishon was taken off of, Truma's Maisa was taken off of? What did you not get around to doing? You didn't get Maisa Sheni, you didn't get Maisa Ani or something. So the Gemara says Beferish in Makkah, you're not allowed to eat. Also, the right, even if all you didn't take off was Maiserani. The Taiz has a suffix in Yavam, so you're Chaim Misa B'Shemayim for that. They're not sure. What's the Svar L'Chalik? according to this Rashi, it makes a lot of sense that you can only medvar murim, you can mechayev a guy mitzvah shemayim for tevel if he's eating a tevel that licked in the tevel is a mitzvah shemayim to get in. But if there's no mitzvah shemayim in it, it's mice oni. If you eat mice oni, you're not oni, so you're a galvon. If you eat mice hashem, you're out of Yerushalayim, you're allowed to eat mice hashem in Yerushalayim. The whole thing doesn't make any sense. There's no mitzvah shemayim involved in these things. So Tais has one sock to say, Ken Zayin, it wouldn't be a chi of mitzvah shemayim. So that line in Tais, that something in Tais is in sync, is in line with Rashi's lundas. Whereas if you go down the route, that the two divinity serve, this temple, this two with each other, and one's also for Kohen, also one's not also for Kohen, and Mamish not connected to one another, then the Kharib, it's called temple, and finished. And it would be an Isser, a Mitzvah Shemayim, notwithstanding the fact that the Maisa Anishimbo is not carried, intrinsically Mitzvah Shemayim with it. So it's not the same Shaila as Tosfos and Ramban, but it's almost similar. What Tosfos and Ramban are fighting out in terms of Chosh and Mishpat, just how do we view temple? Do we view temple as being, there's already Truma in here? So that's almost similar to what Rashi and Tosfos are fighting out in Yevamos also. In the realm of Vesavah Heter, when we look at Tevel, if we look at it through the eyes of, there's no Truma in here, we say, no, there's no Truma in here. If and when you get around to Mafish Truma, then we'll deal with the Truma part. Right now, it's called Tevel. So that's what the Ramban is saying. Right now, it's not a moment of Shutfis. There's no Truma here. There's nothing. It's Tevel. We'll deal with Shutfis. We'll get to Shutfis. And Tosfos is saying no. Tosfos is saying that it's, we view it almost like the Truma is already here. It's not identical, Shaila. And Tosfos splits because Tosfos in one place looks one way or the other. Not identical, but it's almost a similar notion as to what eyes we look at the relation between Truma and Tevel. Are they really, really interrelated, these two Isurim? One is literally almost dependent upon the other. Do we say no? Tevel Lachud, and then after the Mafish Tevel, then we'll deal with the Truma aspect. So, Kopar, I'm getting back to our story. So, we still have this running machlokes, plays in the Ramban, what exactly the status of Esrik Shel Tevel is. Is it potentially disqualified because of Mabra Shutfis? Tosfos, in order to Tosfos went down that route that it is a moment of Shutfis, had explained away the matzah and the chal and all the other side shows. But in terms of the Esrog Shel Tevel, Tosfos sticks to their guns that Esrog Shel Tevel is top off limits because it's not lachem, it's a moment of Shutfis, and the Ramban says, I've never heard of such a thing. It's not considered to be a moment of Shutfis, or at least it's not a real bona fide moment of Shutfis because you have the easy available to be mafresh. So that in of itself, almost it's like the case of the Tvis Abai, there's other Esrogim around. It's not real bona fide moment of Shutfis. Anyway, so at least we made a... Okay, we finished that sugya. So hopefully, Mr. Shem, tomorrow night, Shem, hopefully, Mr. Wednesday and Thursday, we'll try to do the next sugya, moving up to the Falam Nechash.